We'll return to the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to John. We shall look at again this evening at verses 37 and 38 of John 18. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. A number of opinions voiced by the commentators on the meaning of Pilate's words, what is truth, and the motive that prompted these words, is just about as numerous as the commentators themselves. That is, they all have a different opinion. It shows that this is no easy verse, with a meaning of which to solve. Nevertheless, in most of the cases, not in all, but in most of the cases, the commentators have failed to observe one all-important principle. And that is that nothing is recorded of the life and sayings of our Lord, particularly in the Gospel of John, but what is thought with very great meaning. There is nothing trivial, nothing accidental, nothing ordinary, nothing merely prosaic in what is recorded by John. So that we're not here getting an example of how a worldly man like Pilate dismisses with a gesture the idea, what is truth? That he is expressing his own skepticism or proclaiming his own indifference to the question or the various shades of meaning which have been applied to this. From the idea that he was fully sincere to the idea that he was simply mocking the Savior, his gameplay. We must dismiss all this from our mind. Pilate was not speaking for himself. He stood there for the entire Gentile world. It was devoid of truth. At that time, anyway, it had been in the days of the flood almost. That Gentile world was rich in philosophy, in poetry, in classical law, in achievements, in various realms of human enterprise, but was devoid of truth. And for aught we know, to the contrary, is devoid also of any honest desire to know the truth or seek after it. And Pilate was speaking for them all. And he said, what is truth? He was not speaking disdainfully. He was also speaking entirely without sincerity. He was receiving the answer of our Lord into a mind which could not see at all either the relevance of bringing this up or of ever finding an answer to the question. what is true. That he was not holding the Lord in disdain is evident from other things which happened at the time and immediately after this saying. For instance, we read in the 38th verse of when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, saying to them, I find in him no fault at all. And you see, he belabored with what resources he had, short of compromising himself with his own ambitions. He labored quite genuinely to have our Lord acquitted and set free, which was a somewhat remarkable thing in the man, as much as the whole Jewish council had brought about the arrest of this prisoner and represented him as a dangerous man, a deceiver of the people, who required of Pilate that he should be condemned to death. It was somewhat unusual for a man like Pilate to endeavor to put this aside. What was another crucifixion to him? Neither one thing nor the other was very little to him. But not so in this particular case. He went forth from this point. He met the Jewish council. He said, you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And his words were weighed, but not by himself, but by God. He put them into his mouth. And there was something about the prisoner he had before him which filled him with a certain amount of fear and respect, and robbed him of any power which he had, except the power to fulfill the divine decree concerning Christ. So he describes him as the King of the Jews. You have the King of the Jews, and you have Barabbas. He cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And Barabbas was a robber. That was the end of the process, as far as Pilate was concerned. There were other events afterwards in which he was deeply involved, but from that moment the Savior's face was seen. The Roman governor neither could nor would release the prisoner. He treated hitherto with dignity and reverence, and yet must, in that same instant, give the order preliminary to crucifixion that he should be taken out and scourged. Now we return to this saying of Pilate and what was involved therein. What is truth? It arises out of the statement of the Savior. And Pilate asked him, art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. In other words, thou hast spoken it. That is precisely what I am. For this purpose was I, for this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now these words were spoken not for Pilate only, any more than he replied only for himself. They were spoken as an indication of the nature of Christ's kingdom, that kingdom of which he was king, and who his subject should be, and what the terms of that kingdom were. And Pilate's questions to him and his answer to Christ were all designed by divine providence, the words put into his mouth, in order to bring out the meaning of the crucifixion, to lay bare the wisdom of God in this awful tragedy which is about to be enacted. I am a king, says Christ. He might have said, I am the king. Thou sayest that I am a king. But, as he goes on immediately to say that he came into the world to bear witness of the truth, therefore his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And this it is distinguished from all earthly kingdoms. And well might Pilate say, what is truth? What is that got to do with kingdoms? No kingdom on earth ever has been or ever will be founded on truth. It's been founded on policy. It's been founded on ambition. Any one of a thousand different things that they've been founded on is not founded on truth. What is truth? What is truth in relation to this world and worldly affairs? It's what Pilate was saying as the words were put into his mouth and into his heart. He could not understand a kingdom of truth, a realm of truth, something which has no boundary, something which has no form, which is invisible, cannot be seen, and cannot even be understood, at least not by worldly men like Pilate. As our Lord goes on to say, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, heareth my royal speech, the dignity of my royal command. The word which goes forth from my throne is the word of truth, and by this I reign. This is what he says. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now you see how well Pilate might reply, what is truth? The mystification of it all, the irrelevance of truth to this world, the world that Pilate knew and the world that we know, the utter irrelevance of truth. By getting the truth out of governments and out of policies of men, things are happening overnight here in Ireland or in Britain in relation to the common market. But try getting the truth. Either from one side or the other, you get the truth. All is partiality. All is hidden. All only partly revealed. There's always something held back. There's information which isn't given, or information that may be distorted, as they're doing now with all the news media regarding the events in Ulster. So it is almost impossible for people to know really what is going on, what is behind it all. It is all hidden. We're not told. Some of us know, but we know by other means. What is truth? There's no relevance, no real relevance to government in this world. There is one kingdom of truth. There is one government of truth. There is one king over it all. There is one throne only founded upon it. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now we have noted on a former occasion that the Lord says not only was he born, but he came into the world. We just remind ourselves that to be born is one thing, to come into the world is another. Strictly speaking, you and I haven't come into this world. We speak about the day of our birth sometimes, but when we came into the world, in actual fact, we were never out of the world, but come into it. Our mothers and fathers were already in the world. We are of the earth, therefore. Christ is the only one who could say, I came to the world. He came from another world into this world. A world which is before time. A world which is entirely other than the world which we know. And for this cause he came in, to bear witness unto the truth. And bearing witness unto the truth means the declaring of it, the making of it known, the unfolding and revealing of all truth. We shall see that truth is light. True knowledge. Light shining in darkness. This is what truth is. I came to bear witness of the truth. And only those who are of the truth hear my voice, accept my rule, are subject unto me. Now let us look in particular, rapidly as we can, these words of Christ who came to bear witness unto the truth, the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? But Christ speaks about the truth. It is indefinite in the mouth of Pilate. But there is one truth in the mouth of Christ. There's only one truth, there aren't two truths. There's only one truth, complete, whole, and absolute, and final. It never altered, never varied. Now, the writings of John are full of the doctrine of divine truth. I want you to run with me through the chapters of John, if you only take a moment or two, as we turn to the first chapter, in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the first occurrence of the word truth in the Gospel of John, or in the writings of John. But right throughout his writings, the Gospel, the three epistles that bear his name, and the book of Revelation. And we find that in one of the later chapters of Revelation, Christ appears, after the 19th chapter. He is girt about with a banner that reads, Faithful and True. The truth, which is Christ, is the dominant thought in all John's writings. The Word dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not that what the law was true which came by Moses, but it was only partial. It was not complete. The full blaze of truth was unfolded in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we had to await his coming, who was himself the truth, for the full glory of divine truth to be revealed in all its fullness, so that there is no reserve, there is nothing uncovered. All that is limited is our understanding of the truth. Heaven shall reveal no further truth than what is already embodied in the Word. We only see through a glass darkly because of the limitations of our understanding of the truth. One day we shall know, even as also we are known. Then chapter 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Almost the same words that the Savior uses in our text. Every one that is of the truth, hear at my voice. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Again, that is another way of saying that he that is of the truth does not fear life. He loves life. He wants the utmost life to be poured upon his soul. He wants to know all about himself and all about God. He does not fear any revelation that might be made of his own heart's depravity and sin. He loves the truth at any cost. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. He confesses his sin. He acknowledges his transgression. He doesn't lurk in dark corners. He doesn't linger in dark places. He comes out into the light. This is Christ's kingdom of truth. And it is characteristic of the truly converted that they come into the light. They are brought into the light in one sense, but they come into the light too. They want the light, even although it reveals the sinfulness of their heart. And what they want light to be cast into every chamber of their being, that it might dispel the darkness. And that light is a sanctifying light. It is a light of holiness. Is the light which streams from the face of God's eternal Son. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Chapter 4 and verse 23. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. There again we have the children of the light coming to the light, the children of truth coming to the truth. They worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That is, they do not have any misconception of who and what God is. They have no misshapen idea, no distortion, no deformity of the image of God in their mind. They worship him in spirit and in truth. It's the true God they worship. He's been fully revealed to them in all his holiness, majesty, grace and power. In all his indignation against sin. In all his righteous wrath against wickedness and against the wicked. They do not hide their sins or dissemble their misdeeds. But rather come to God and worship him in truth. You can only worship God in truth, in the burning light of his presence. The hymn writer said, eternal light, how pure the soul must be, when placed within thy searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight, and led and look on thee. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We dare not come before him with any holding back of any confession of our sins, with any clinging to that which is dark. We cannot do that in the presence of God. Our worship is and ever must be pure and holy in spirit and in truth. This is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next chapter, chapter 5, verse 33. He sent him to John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Here's the truth confirmed upon earth by the witness and testimony of John, who came as the prophet of a long-standing prophecy centuries before, in the spirit and power of Elijah, doing the work of Elijah, who lived so many centuries before John the Baptist. In accordance with the words spoken of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, and in Malachi's third chapter, I will send my messenger before my face. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Here was a true witness unto the truth. The truth to which he bore witness was this: Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was the end of all his ministry, and the intention, the purpose, that was being raised up as a witness to the truth. And in chapter 6, verse 32, all these are following chapters. Last clause of verse 32, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That manna you ate in the wilderness was sustaining for the body. But I give you, or my Father gives you in me, the true bread from heaven. Your fathers ate manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread, the bread that I shall give him, shall live forever and shall never die. This is Christ's kingdom of truth. He is the true bread sent down from heaven, the true provision for our soul. Chapter 7, verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. He that sent me is true. And as I came forth in the bosom of him who is truth, who could only speak truth, in whom is the truth, and his word is always and ever true. It's characteristic of our God that he is the true God. It means not only that he is the only proper God to worship, but he is also the God of truth, who delighteth in truth, because he is all light, and in him is no darkness at all, and light is truth. Then in chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the characteristic of the truth. Even when men are restrained in prison for their witness to Christ, as has happened right down the ages, they are free men, as Paul in the Roman prison, bound by a Roman chain, was free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they put shackles upon his feet and upon his wrists. He may be tied down by a ball and chain in a prison cell, but he's free, he's free. His spirit is free. He knows the truth. The truth shall make you free. No one can buy those who have the truth, because they are free. And again in verse 44, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's right. In verse 44 of the same chapter, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. He departed from the light and became darkness. Whatever that was known as the prince of darkness. And Christ refers to him as the power of darkness. This is your hour, he says, in the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. To work their will upon me through and the light. But through it all, the light will only stream forth with greater clarity in the uttermost parts of the earth. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if anyone wants to know where evil began, who is the father of evil, remember this, the devil is the originator of evil. He is the father of it. He's the father of the lie. The lie which is the original denial of God. The lie concerning God. For Satan's fall was because there was engendered in his heart because of jealousy and envy that was engendered in his heart, not only a hatred of God, but a regarding of the nature of God as being harmful and not good, something which does not stream forth for the benefit of his creatures, but rather for his own selfish benefits. And God has no right to do this. This is Satan's lie, and lies at the bottom of every sin which every man or woman ever commits. The same sin of self-centeredness, claiming all things for ourselves, and claiming that God is not true in that he deprives us or attempts to deprive us of that which is our right. This is the original lie that was uttered in heaven by Satan and procured his fall into the abyss of darkness. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And of course, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I and my Father are one. These verses go there. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he claims there that all divine truth and wisdom and life are concentrated in him. He is the focal point of it all, and through him it is that the grace of the Father, the excellency of the Father, the perfections of the Father and of the Godhead shine forth in and through him. So that he says to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17. Verse 19. Christ's prayer before his arrest. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now it is through the truth that we are made holy, for the truth is holy. It is the light of God streaming into the soul of man, chasing away the shadows and the darkness, until all is light within. As Paul tells us, we are the children of light. We are light in the Lord. He says, walk as the children of light. And Christ says of himself, I am the light of the world. And he also says of his children, ye are the light of the world. Because being born of him, his sanctifying truth is in their heart. And they are the only means of life in this dark and sinful world, that we carry in our heart the word of eternal truth. And finally, in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 28. And we know, verse 20, rather. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is knowing God. This is the revelation of God. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. This is the true God and eternal life. Now then, our time slipping away rapidly. We see now that Pilate's question was a good one, and that he did not speak it for himself when he said, "What is truth?" Well might he illustrate in that moment not only his own darkness, but the darkness of this evil world for which he spoke, the utter absence of light. Oh, if men only had the light in the midst of their darkness. And when God does lighten their darkness, how things are marvelously these we cannot see in the dark. Everything is distorted, we are blind, we wander, we have no guide, no one to help us, no one to lead us. We wander in the dark without a light. We are blind. And so was Pilate. He said, "What is truth?" You see now that it wasn't a question of whether he was complimenting Christ or whether he was speaking contemptibly of Christ and of his word. It was simply he was speaking for the darkness in which he dwelt, and the darkness of the world in which he dwelt, and the darkness of all those for whom he spoke, who were not numbered amongst those of whom Christ said, "Every one that is of the truth, heareth my voice." So then, in brief, the truth is the full revelation of God's name and being. God has revealed in Christ. He has set his name in Christ. And his name is his character. His name is his will. His name is his purpose. This is the truth concerning God. And this he has shown forth in Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. And he has shown it forth in a special connection. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. The darkness in which the light shines, the truth shines, is the fallen nature of man. In this gross darkness in which Pilate was, the light shines and was going to shine ever more brightly. And the light illustrated through Christ this great central truth, truth in a special connection, the redemption of fallen man. This is the heart and soul of the truth which is revealed to us. It is revealed the redemption of fallen man in Christ, the overcoming of darkness, the reversal of the verdict of sin upon the name, nature, and character of God. The establishing of God's name and credit and glory through the Son, as the Son acts for, as the mediator for a lost, darkened, and fallen race. So that the truth has to do, particularly with Christ as he is our mediator. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He's setting himself up there as a mediator, through whom alone we have access to God, and with whom, through whom alone we may have dealings with God, through whom alone God may have dealings with us, so that Christ is our mediator. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And now you see the depth of meaning that there is in John 14:6. The way, the truth, the life.